Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to Colin's Last Stand right here on YouTube. My name is Colin Moriarty. As always, I hope today's video finds you and yours very well. Today's topic's a bit of an interesting one for me. It's about the death of the Old West, the death of the Wild West. And this is a topic that was determined by the audience at Colin's Last Stand's Patreon, patreon.com/Colin's Last Stand, where $2 and up supporters get to vote in two-part elections to determine topics each month. And this was one of the topics that they came up with. And, you know, I was at a bit of a loss about how to do this one. The reality is that the death of the Old West is a huge story. Way too big for one video, way too big for an episode of Colin's Last Stand. The average watch time here is about 9 minutes, so I'm trying to keep the videos short, like to 15 minutes at the most. So as usual, the script and the ambition that I had for this video was way bigger than it ended up being, but I think I told the story concisely enough and from a philosophical and historical point of view, and also from a cultural point of view, that I think it encapsulates what the audience had wanted me to answer to begin with. But of course, you'll be the judge of that. So let's waste no more time. Let's get into the video and I'll see you on the other side. With a country as territorially vast as the United States, it makes perfect sense that each corner of the world's fourth largest nation would have its own stories, myths, memories, and legends. Revolutionary New England, frigid Alaska, the cultural hotbed of the Mississippi Delta. But there's a specific place, what Americans commonly refer to as the Old West or the Wild West, that holds a special place in many hearts. Yet, like so many references to times and events past, the Old / Wild West exists as a wobbly memory passed down through generations, an oft misremembered and oft romanticized encapsulation of what we think it was and is to be American. But it's largely a selectively edited relic. It's a time and place we think back upon fondly, relive in endless fiction, study in books, and assume we know something about, but your everyman actually knows precious little. And in speaking about this time and this place, we think about it at its absolute height, those points where our imaginations most run free, true or false, real or fake. We rarely think about the Old West as something that actually existed, without all of the fluff, and then promptly curled up and died. Yet, that's precisely what happened. There are multiple things that we have to reconcile when we're talking about the so-called West. For starters, we need to settle on just where we're talking about. The West as a loose term, and even the Old West or the Wild West as more concrete terms, are still incredibly nebulous. The definitions did, were, and are still changing. Indeed, even in the colonial era before the American Revolution, when the Spanish, French, Portuguese, and others were running roughshod over various parts of North, Central, and South America right alongside the British, the West was merely a relative term. This is especially true in the pre-industrial United States, when people scarcely traveled and rarely went far from where they were born. What was out there was indeed what we assumed was out there, hence all of the misinformation and mythology surrounding America's shared remembrance of its Western heritage. It wasn't nearly as violent, lawless, or chaotic as we think it was, and so we didn't pass along historical information, but rather historical information lined with tall tales. Over time, the two have combined. What we think of as the West is today actually portions of the American West, Southwest, and Midwest. Places like Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Utah, Colorado, Nevada, and the like. But in the late 1780s and early 1790s, as an example, during the George Washington administration, the West was a reference to, at best, the far side of the Appalachian Mountains. The original colonial charters that outlined the borders of what would become the first 13 states expanded westward in infinity, illustrating just how much was unknown. With Thomas Jefferson's purchase of the Louisiana Territory from France in 1803, however, and with Lewis and Clark's ambitious journey into the frontier and out towards the Pacific Ocean, the actual scope of the landmass came into view for even the most ignorant of 19th century minds, finally opening it up to actual, substantial, and permanent settlement. While it was well understood for several hundred years that the North American continent was buttressed by oceans, and while non-English colonial powers had, since the 16th century, interest deep in the interior and towards the Pacific Ocean, few people understood how it all connected, and what lie between. The mythologies of people, places, and events aren't the only things that permeate our shared remembrance of the Old West. Many scholars and other experts can't even agree on when the era began and when it ended, making chronicling its downfall all the more difficult. Some think that, for all intents and purposes, what we see as the Old West began as soon as Lewis and Clark returned to Thomas Jefferson with data, drawings, and stories galore in the year 1806. For others, the Old West didn't begin until the Texas Revolution, the Mexican-American War, or even after the American Civil War. But it's easier to find some academic cohesion when talking about when it all ended. Some point to the 1890 census as the end, since by that point, none of the territory under American control between Washington, D.C. and the Pacific Ocean was unorganized and unspoken for. In other words, there was no more unexplored, unknown frontier. Others point to early 1912, when New Mexico and Arizona were properly admitted to the Union as states as the end, since the order and governance that came along with statehood eliminated all of that storied chaos. But for me, it's a little more complicated than that, because this era, untidily kept by history, is really more about the death of an American mythology and all of the feelings that go along with that mythology than the expiration of something tangible and real. Westward expansion, itself a loose term that means something different depending on what you're even talking about and when, was an ongoing economic, social, and explorative goal in some respect even before the Constitution was ratified. But following Lewis and Clark's expedition, it gained lots of steam, especially when you throw into the concoction the essential ingredient known as manifest destiny, the political and ideological notion that Americans could, should, and would remake the vast American landscape in an American image. The Louisiana Purchase doubled the size of the US, but the deed wasn't nearly done. As territories were organized out of the previously French Louisiana landmass that scaled from the Gulf of Mexico right on up to the Canadian border and towards the Rocky Mountains far in the west, more land was grabbed and thrown into the pot. In fact, if you look at a map of the Louisiana Purchase, you'll notice that very little of what we've defined as the Old or Wild West is even in it. Perhaps a third of the land as defined is, but even more land would need to be gobbled up, organized, occupied, and sustained for us to get to the point where the Wild West existed as we understand it. All of this land was just that, though, land. Occupied by oft-transient, oft-harassed Indian tribes and an insane amount of wildlife, much of which was unknown by your typical early to mid-19th century American, the economic, social, and political implications of rushing westward were suddenly brought to life. Naturally, pioneering westward attracted certain kinds of people, as exploration and homesteading typically does. People without deep roots, perhaps without many prospects back where they were from. Going westward required gumption and courage, and even a degree of recklessness. Remember, this is the 19th century. For many of these people, what they left with was what they had. They couldn't stop off to buy replacement parts or replace spoiled food. This was life or death. This was as serious as it got, and it wasn't necessarily for the economically stable, the grounded, the landed, or the educated. I think all of this is precisely what contributed to that roguish feeling we'd later derive from tales of the Wild West. Gunslingers and criminals and con artists and people fleeing from their old lives gathered together far away from the law and order of Washington, D.C., and the Federalist state-driven system, and voila, you have pandemonium. But for the most part, that unbridled pandemonium, the stuff of the silver screen westerns and endless pulp novels, never really happened. At least not with any degree of regularity. The reality is few people died in conflict with Indian tribes. Few people died in duels and gun battles and robberies. Crimes weren't nearly as pervasive as you may think, and the lawlessness we think we know so well from the Old West era is in fact something probably a little more readily identifiable as a brand of archaic libertarianism born out of a distance from civilization. People died, stuff was stolen, people got drunk, and bad things happened. But considering how many people streamed westward from old America, year in and year out for decades, the bloodbath, lock your doors, and hold on to all of your belongings painting we've crafted for ourselves isn't all that authentic. Instead, as far as I can tell, it's abject normalcy that killed the Old West. Distanced from states with organized state legislatures and federal representation, removed from the law and order of a proper overarching governmental apparatus, and with the aforementioned attraction of some pretty strange, out there people living on the fringes of society, it would make sense that life was just a bit different in, say, Oklahoma Territory than in Massachusetts. But more people came. Settlements of a few turned into towns and cities. The economics that drew people westward became predictable, repeatable, and essential. These American-controlled territories, one by one, petitioned for statehood once their respective populations justified such a move. Before you knew it, these territories turned into states. Texas in 1845, California in 1850, Kansas in 1861, Nevada in 1864, Nebraska in 1867, Colorado in 1876, Wyoming in 1890, Oklahoma in 1907, and finally, as mentioned earlier, Arizona and New Mexico in 1912. There was something romantic about these disorganized, motley frontier territories that was suddenly nullified now that they had senators and congressmen in Washington, D.C., state capitals with beautiful new buildings and representative legislatures, and a star marked on the red, white, and blue. Technology and connectivity also brought the Wild West down. In the earliest days of California, it was nigh impossible to get letters and parcels from the Atlantic states to, say, San Francisco, with the exception of the short-lived Pony Express. So you could only imagine if you lived on a farmstead in the Arizona Territory with 10 neighbors within 50 miles of you. But the world suddenly got smaller. Railroad tracks scattered across the American landscape like varicose veins, bringing everyone closer together, with mail and goods making their way all around, tying together marketplaces and people. Traveling westward was now far more manageable for families, for moneyed interests, for businesses, and for government officials. Parallel to this was the rise of the telegraph, wires running the length of the country, bringing the latest and greatest news from the nation's largest cities and farthest corners alike directly to anyone, anywhere, in a matter of moments. As the world became smaller, the mystique was lifted. It's not that the western parts of the U.S. were gone to history, or that their heritage was obscured by eastern cosmopolitanism. It's just that the Old West, in its inevitable death, became something less separate, and instead joined the totality of America's fabric. And so it faded. The Old West, the Wild West, the West, whatever you want to call it, has left an indelible mark on the United States, and on what it means to be an American. Cowboys and Indians, gun battles between sheriffs and outlaws, horses and cattle and homesteading, deserts and cacti and tumbleweeds, there's a lot to unpack. But by the early 20th century, it was gone, just like the patriot-driven revolutionary days pass us by, just like antebellum America gave way to national violence, just like the reaction to uncontrolled racism ultimately led to a black president. The passing of the Old West occurred as quietly and portioned over a period of time as its rise happened. Unmolested by time, undefined in its parameters, and massive in the minds of Americans many generations removed, even if we had a hard time parsing through what's real and what isn't. Well, that's it for this episode of Colin's Last Stand. I hope you enjoyed it. Please let me know what you think. You can thumb up the video if you liked it, thumb it down if you don't, and of course, leave comments below. I'll be reading them. I will waste no more of your time, but I really do appreciate your support here on YouTube, on Patreon. You can follow me on Twitter. Do all of those kinds of things. I want to be where you are. Not literally, of course, figuratively. So please consider showing me and Colin's Last Stand support where and when you can. I will see you next time for more Colin's Last Stand. Thanks again. I hope you and yours are well. Keep on learning.